Hello and welcome to High School Hockey on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and we have Northeast Conference Division II game tonight from the Bork Arena at Endicott College in Beverly, Massachusetts, as it will be the Saugus Sachems visiting the Beverly Panthers. Both teams, it's the Panthers on the ice right now. They've just come on. We're going to get a little bit of a late start as they just finished clearing the ice and the Panthers just came onto the ice. Beverly, with a record of 7-4-1, is hosting Saugus. And Saugus, so a bit of an up-and-down team, as you heard Coach Natalucci talk a little bit in our pregame. Talked with Coach Natalucci on Monday night. As the Sachems now get on the ice with their all red uniforms and the Indian chief on the chest, dropping their sticks off on the bench in front of us. Not a great place to view a game or broadcast a game here at Bork Arena. It's a great ice surface for kids skating, though. Fantastic. Saugus comes into the game with a record of 4 wins, 5 losses, and 2 ties. They've scored 25 goals and allowed 40. So obviously that's something that is concerning to Coach Natalucci. They have won 2, lost 3, and tied 1 in the conference. They're 2-3-1 there. And they've scored 12 goals in those 6 games in the league, allowing 20. So that's something obviously that is a little bit concerning for the Sachems, and they want to clear that up. They've had some really good games, and they've had some lapses at times, particularly in the most recent game with Danvers, apparently with penalties. Beverly, meanwhile, has a record of 7-4-1 overall. They've scored 47 goals and allowed 36, and they're 3-3-0 in the league, as they've scored 22 goals and allowed 18. So overall, they're averaging about 4 goals per game, and they're giving up about 3 per game. But they do have that 7-4-1 record. Beverly coming off a 1-goal loss to Masconomet, but excellently played game, according to Coach Justin Shares. He was pleased with the effort by his Panthers. Meanwhile, Saugus coming off a 6-0 loss to Stoneham, and everybody has been losing to Stoneham, as most people know. All right, the Sachems warming up down to our right. Beverly warming up down to our left. We'll give you take a look at the lineups and the starting goalies in just a second. Take our first break. And by the way, between periods, we've got some special guests that we talked with on Monday night as well on North Shore Sports Night. So high school hockey coming right up. Stay with us.
Meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our 3 locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings. With 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore, we have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Okay, back at the Bork Arena. We're about 3.5 minutes away from the national anthem, I suppose. And it's an interesting rink. The very low ceiling, and the stands are very low as well. There are about 5 bleachers, maybe 6 bleachers sections, or 6 bleacher benches, lengths, I should say, rows in each section. And there are 4 sections throughout the rink. The middle of the rink from blue line to blue line, and it looks like kind of a compressed neutral zone, but the middle of the rink is where the coaches' benches, or rather the team benches, are, and of course, penalty box across the way. And that is sort of set off with all kinds of supports and netting and so on, and it does cut down on the view. To my left is a television stand, and it's pretty good size, so it cuts off about half of the ice down to my left. And you have to look at the goalie through some of those glasses and some of the support. So it's going to be interesting when the play is down to the left, and do what we can do. Beverly Panthers, again, warming up to our left, and they have their sort of off-white jerseys with the black pants and the black numerals, and for the most part, the black helmets. They'll be starting Steve Hallinan, Connor Hanlon, Ryan Munzing up front tonight. And we'll have to see who's back on defense, but it would probably be Braden Clark, Finn Crocker to start. We'll check it out for you. And we'll also see who's in goal, as right now it's Jack Tenhope in the net. So we'll see who starts for the Beverly Panthers. For Saugus, their front line consists of Ronnie Paolo, John Torres, Ryan Gwork, and on defense, C.J. Graffio and Anthony Cogliano. We'll see if they start. Tonight's starting goaltender for Saugus will be sophomore Jack Devereaux, according to Coach Natalucci. Great meeting Coach Natalucci in person after all these years. Take our second break. Come back with game action here on MSO News Sports. It is Saugus at Beverly.
The Bradford Tavern in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, the freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open Tuesday through Sunday, 11:30 a.m. to midnight, closed Mondays. The restaurant features two separate function rooms ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
A lot of games to report on tonight. We'll check scores as we can. In between periods, we're going to be talking with Coach Gino Fea of Swampscott. Talk to him on Monday night. We're going to play that interview for you. He won his 150th game a couple of weeks, about a week or so ago, or a week and a half ago, as a matter of fact. And we'll also talk with Newburyport coach Dave Clay. He's the Newburyport boys basketball coach, and we'll be checking in with him between periods 2 and 3 if all goes well. We're going to have our introductions now, the lineups, and our playing of our national anthem, and then we'll be back with the start of tonight's game. This is MSO News Sports on, well, actually, that's it. It's MSO News Sports on the Internet. I was going to say on radio, but you get the idea. We'll be right back.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Fabulous Fridays and Sunday brunch are back at the Gloucester House. World-renowned for its lobster dishes and fresh seafood specialties, the Gloucester House Restaurant, 63 Rogers Street, uses only locally caught, fresh North Atlantic seafood, offering traditional dining as well as catering to your private function needs. There is something for everyone and every occasion at the Gloucester House. Owned and operated by the Linquata family since 1959, they offer fabulous Friday lunch and dinner specials. And don't forget Sunday brunch from 10 to 2. For more information, go to GloucesterHouse.com.
Okay, starting lineups have been announced. The national anthem has been played. There are, 50 or 60 people here. No, seriously, decent representation by both student bodies, but not a lot of people on this Wednesday night. And, of course, it's dinner time and people just getting home from work, of course. And it's the middle of January. All right, Sachem's all going around and saluting their goaltender, Jack Devereaux. Starting goaltender for Beverly is Troy Doyle, down the goal to our left. Panthers will be moving from left to right. And, of course, as we mentioned, Devereaux down in the goal off to our right, where that will be the Saugus defensive zone. John Torres, captain out there. We'll check it. Ryan Gork on the right wing. John Torres in the middle. Ronnie Paolo on the left wing for Saugus. Up front, it's Hanlon, Hallinan, and Munzing for the Beverly Panthers. And Beverly wins the draw right off the bat. It's Braden Clark gets it to the Saugus line. Joe Cross with it back in his own zone. Loses it to Ryan Munzing, who fires it around the glass in the Saugus end. Picked up down there low by Joe Cross, but he can't get it out. Centering pass comes away to the Sachems. They'll get it out to center ice. Tracked down by Braden Clark for Beverly in the Panthers zone. Collision at the blue line. Panthers come away with it. Lugging it out is Hallinan, left wing side, feeds it to Munzing, shoots, and scores. Backhanded right in the slot, no chance for goaltender Devereaux, and Hallinan and Munzing with the 2-on-1, Panthers lead it in the first 35 seconds of play. So Munzing gets the goal, backhander, and Hallinan the assist. 1-0 Panthers. Big Paul Edson comes across the line for the Panthers. Centering pass broken up by the defense of the Saugus Sachems. Get it out to the line. Adam Rodriguez with it. Can't do anything. Well, now he gets it back. Right wing side to Dante McGrain across the line. Taken away, though, by Aaron Carroll in the defensive zone for the Panthers. Loses it. McGrain has it. Backhands it. Goes up to the line. Out of the zone. fact-checking Rodriguez at center ice. Panthers, Saugus fight for it in front of the Saugus bench right in front of me. And I'll have to wait to see get a view here. Here we go. Finn Crocker has it for the Panthers. Slides it all the way around the cage. Going to be covered down there by by C.J. Graffio. But he loses it. Now he gets it back. Goal line extended, looking to make a play. Right wing feed over to Lorenzo Keegan, but he loses it. Comes back down low once again. Anthony Cogliano, well, playing catch with C.J. Graffio, but they can't get it out of the zone. Panthers hemming him in. Billy MacArthur with it. He loses it. Can't be controlled by Graffio. Panthers pressing, but not getting any organization. Comes back to the point. Shot from long range. Devereaux can't hold on to it. Shot was taken by Crocker. Goes into the corner right side. And Saugus gets it out of the zone at long last. Ryan Granza can't catch up with it. Shot from the right point. Goes into the left wing corner. Empty. Nobody there. And the Panthers bring it away. Much more Chris passing by Beverly right now. Testing Devereaux. Long shot from the blue line. He gloves it easily and leaves it for Drew Worthley. He backhands it around the cage. Saugus forms it up, gets it out of the zone, and taken away by the Panthers. Comes back to the line to Worthley once again for Saugus. Play is at center. Kind of a chip shot over to Ronnie Paulo, left wing side. Goes around the cage, around Doyle, and the Panthers have it. Get it out of the zone. Checked at the zone, at the line rather, by Drew Worthley. Getting a phone call from Atlantic City, New Jersey. You think it's important? As I'm trying to do the game. We've played a couple of minutes. It's 1-0 Beverly Panthers, putting the pressure on once again in the Saugus zone. Andrew Shea out there on the point sends it down low. Munzing covering back up at center point. Behind the cage, Beverly Saugus fighting for the puck. Who comes away with it? And it comes out to center ice. Controlled by Crocker. Sends it on the left wing side as the Panthers will change up. They clear it into the Saugus end. And some heavy checking along the boards. We're going to get a penalty on Connor Hamlin of Beverly. And there it is. So we get the first penalty of the game. It's going to go to Hamlin for boarding. And this penalty comes at 3:42 of the first period. Panthers leading 1-0 on the goal by Ryan Munzing. So you got a two-minute penalty coming up to Connor Hamlin at 3:42 for the Panthers, and that puts the puck in the Beverly zone. Up front, it is Nick Moore with it, left wing side. Circling and heads toward the cage, drops it into the corner, comes back out to the left point, misfire by Graffio, but it's still in the Panther end. Graffio intercepts at the line, tries to shoot it through a screen just wide, goes around to Nick Moore on the other side. Kept in by Joe Cross, he loses it, and it comes out to center ice, forcing Graffio to hustle back for it. Devereaux out of the cage, leaves it for Graffio. Still a minute and 25 seconds left in the man advantage for the Sachems. Trailing, intercepted, shorthanded bed here by Big Paul Edson. He's got it behind the cage, fighting two Sachems with it, and Edson comes away with it. Beverly shorthanded, he drops it back to the point, does Edson, and it's fired around the boards by Tim McCarthy. Beverly controlling the puck, and they're a man down. They get it out of the zone to kill some time, and it comes back out to Finn Crocker, who immediately fires it diagonally from right to left into the Saugus end. And Sachem's trying to form it up with 51 seconds left in the man advantage. Joe Cross brings it to the line and just kind of slides it in around the boards. Intercepted by Ryan Munzing. He, in turn, is checked by Joe Torres in the Beverly end. Goes back deep, down low. Braden Clark for Beverly in their own zone. He's able to clear it all the way down. Devereaux out of his cage for the Sachems and leaves it for a defenseman. Still 27 seconds left in the man advantage. No shots on goal yet for Saugus in this power play. Beverly doing a superb job killing it, as a matter of fact, killing the penalty. All right, wheeling out of his zone is C.J. Graffio leading the attack. Shoots, and it's a tough save in the midsection by Doyle. Goes to his knees and hangs on. Best effort of the night so far by Saugus, led on the attack that time by defenseman C.J. Graffio. Play stops, 12 seconds left to go in the penalty, 9:30 left to go in the first period. Beverly with its first shot on goal, leading 1-0. Face off to the right of Doyle. Still 12 seconds left in the power play. Comes between the points. Cogliano tees it up, sends it down to the right wing side. Panthers fighting for it. Penalty is over. 5-on-5. And nobody controls it just yet. Lorenzo Keegan fighting for the puck for Saugus to keep it in the Beverly end. Does. Goes around the cage. Comes back out to the left point and out of the zone where Drew Werfley has to send it back in. Delayed offside. Panthers have it. And they'll get it. No, they won't. It's intercepted. Fired behind the net by Keegan. And Beverly takes it out of the zone. McCarthy with it, flying across the line. But he is checked nicely off the play by Cogliano. Cogliano sends it behind the cage. Gets it over to Drew Werfley, first man on it. He looks, cuts back toward his own cage, fires it right in front of the net, gets it right back in front of the net. And now it's off the boards and out of the zone. This will be icing on Saugus. Oh, dangerous play there by the two Saugus defensemen. But they get it out of the zone. However, it is icing. And unlike the majors, in the bigs, you can change up ice when you ice the puck in high school. 8:28 left to go, first period, 1-0. Bill Newell covering basketball tonight. We'll have a scoreboard later on for you. Bill Newell will have a basketball game for you, girls basketball game, on Friday here on MSO News Sports. Play resumes in the Saugus end. And Sachem's really just with the one shot on goal so far. And now they lose it across the line. It is Rodriguez who gives up the puck, but he gets it into the Beverly end. Chases it down low, comes back between the points. Covered by Graffio, slides it through, and it's right out in front. Moore hits the side of the net. He was on the doorstep. And there is a whistle for that. I think it went up into the netting. Man, Graffio set up Moore nicely. Just couldn't fire it on the short side. Couldn't get it in there. Just kind of misfired, hit the side of the cage. Best chance of the night so far, although Graffio had a good tester earlier. 1-0, Beverly. Face off to the right of Doyle. Won by the Panthers, by Hanlon, who has a two-minute penalty on the score sheet tonight. Hanlon backhands it. Hanlon, rather, backhands it out of the zone. Cleared back in for Finn Crocker of Beverly. Gets it ahead, left wing side to Captain Hanlon. He gets past a defender, goes around the cage, still with it, but rubbed into the boards nicely by Ryan Granara. And Hanlon gets it right back, shoots from a tough angle, goes wide, comes back to the point on the left wing side, buzzing around. Sachems get it out, though. Nick Moore with it, gets it to Rodriguez, will check it to McGrain, who loses it. Munzing heading to the cage on the backhander, centers it to Hanlon. And it's sticked aside by Devereaux. Panthers get it back, drops it back to the point. Slap shot from the point, save along the ice. Rebound and cleared away by the Sachems. Tough shot by Braden Clark, but it comes back into the zone and now back out. Clark delayed offside, covered by C.J. Graffio for Saugus. He clears it to the line. Paolo can't catch up with it. Now he does. Centering pass, pad save, right side for Doyle. Still in the Beverly end. And Beverly can't clear it as Grook has it. Drops it back to the right point. Worthy tees it up and shoots it wide left from the right point. Comes back out to the left point. Shot through a screen. Where is it? And it's covered up by Doyle. Good testing shot. Good pressure that time by Saugus. And the most recent shot by Joe Cross through the screen. But Doyle somehow saw it as it came into his midsection. Just under 6.5 minutes left to go. First period, 1-0, Beverly. Play resumes in the Beverly end. Play even since that Beverly goal, really. It's at center ice. Andrew Shea sends it in to the Saugus end. Centering, pass, and it can't be collected. Turnaround shot by Shea. Goes wide. Beverly pressing it right now. Patrick Cottrell with it, drops it back to the point, and it comes out of the zone. Right wing feed for Ryan Grork. He shoots it to the side of the net in the Beverly end. Saugus forechecking, and we have a whistle. And I don't know what it's for because I can't see through all the structures here down to our left, all the supports for the TV cameras or whatever it is. But the face-off will be once again to the right of Troy Doyle. 1-0 Beverly. Only goal of the game so far. Ryan Munzing for the Panthers at 35 seconds of the first period. Face-off being fought for now. Nobody has it. Four or five players in that left-wing corner. And who has it? Panthers' Shane Cassidy tries to get it out. He's able to get it ahead as the Panthers do get it out of the zone. And flying down the left-wing side is Anthony D'Amato. Centering pass, can't do anything with it. Cleared away by the Sachems. And they get it out of the zone. Yes, they do. Barely, but they do. And Ryan Granero with it. He loses it, though. It's fired off the glass at center ice. C.J. Graffio circling back toward his own cage. Tries to feed it to Billy MacArthur. But it was too far, so this will be icing on Saugus. 5:07 left to go. First period. It is 1-0. Beverly. Listening to high school hockey on MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Face off to the left of Devereaux. And squirts under the legs of Finn Crocker. He's being chased by Nick Moore, who gets the puck, trying to set up McGrain, but Moore falls down. Gets some help, but the Panthers come away with it. Still in the Beverly defensive zone. Munzing is checked by Rodriguez. Slap shot from the left point. And once again, that's Joe Cross. It goes wide, comes all the way around the right side. And the Panthers get it out of the zone. Steve Hallinan off the boards. Munzing, a check at Hanlon, first man down there. Panthers shot. Oh, man, closing was Braden Clark from about 30 feet. And a save by Devereaux. Hammered around the boards on the left side by Finn Crocker. Comes back to the right point. It's shot through, and it's blocked by Nick Moore, and it bounces all the way back into the Beverly zone. Collected there. Braden Clark has it from Crocker. Gets it on the right wing side to Connor Hanlon across the line. Left shot, right wing side. Centering pass, but it's cleared away nicely by Joe Cross. But there's a goal on the tip-in, and the Panthers make it 2-0. From the point, looks like it's Braden Clark's. Let's see who it is. Is it Billy MacArthur? Looks like it might be MacArthur. We'll check the announcement. Goal comes at 11:02, and it's 2-0 Beverly. Missed that one. Beverly leads it. Play back on in the Panther zone once again. Wait for the announcement. See who got that goal.
Beverly goal, score number 7, Braden Clark. Assisted by number 6, Connor Hanlon. And number 12, Steve Hallinan.
Well, there you go. Hanlon and Hallinan on the assists. But it's Braden Clark from the right point with the goal. And it's 2-0 Beverly. Panthers right back on the attack, and leading it is Paul Edson. He is blocked, comes back to the left point, kept in by Aaron Carroll. Down low to McCarthy, one of the captains, shoots it around behind the cage. So territorial edge certainly for Beverly in this first period. Almost said first quarter. John Torres for Saugus sends it into the Beverly end. It deflects in on Doyle. That forces the Panthers to go back and collect it. And Boucher with it gets it to center ice. Across the line, McCarthy centers it. Meza, long shot, save Devereaux. And right back comes Saugus. Across the line, flying across the line, is Graffio on the attack once again, but he loses it. And it comes back out to the point where it's taken out of the zone by McCarthy. Tries to split the defense, does, goes around. And he shoots, and it's a save glove side by Devereaux. Again, coming around, flying on that right-wing side, left-handed shot by McCarthy. And this time, Devereaux gloved it. So the goal, the second goal for Beverly by Braden Clark. And the Panthers lead 2-0. Hanlon and Hallinan, the assists. Off the faceoff, glove saved by Devereaux. Do it again to his left. 2:10 left to go. After this period, we will check in with our interview with Gino Fea, the Swampscott hockey coach. Talk to Coach Fea on Monday night. Panthers keeping it in. Continuing the pressure, leading 2-0. Beverly's Kenny Richardson fighting along the boards, left wing side for the Panthers with D'Amato. Saugus clears it. This will not be icing. Finn Crocker races back to get it. Tries to leave it back for Patrick Cottrell, who has it, backhands it to the line, and out of the zone. Big Drew Worthley, senior defenseman, tracks it down for the Sachems. Sends it up to the line, tries to split the D, but it's offside. So Saugus with a couple of good chances, Beverly with a couple of goals, 2-0, with a minute and a half left to go in this first period. Only one penalty thus far, and that did not affect the scoring. That was to Hanlon of Beverly back at 3:42. They saw just outside the Saugus end, one by the Sachems, and they get it to center ice. Torres checks it over on the right wing side to Gwark. He goes wide, avoids a check, centering pass back to the point. Graffio shoots, and it's blocked. He gets it right back. Graffio has been the offense for Saugus so far from the point. Loose puck and taken away nicely by Munzing, who leads the attack. He is rubbed, stapled into the boards. And I think we're going to have a penalty on Saugus. We do. Oh, my. Don't agree with that one. Penalty comes at 14:01. It is to Gwark. Slashing. I didn't see that. And I watched the play. I did see the play. 2-minute penalty. Beverly already leading 2-0 with a man advantage. 59 seconds left to go in the period. Panthers win the faceoff. Hanlon heads right to the net. It's loose in front, and it's still loose. Hacking away at it are a couple of Panthers. Comes back to the right point. Drops into the right side. It is down low. Meza with it. Centering pass. He just circles the cage. Does Meza. Drops it back to the left point. Over to the right point. And playing the right point is McCarthy. He sends it over left side. Slap shot from the point. Deflected as Edson is on the left point. Five forwards out there for the Panthers. Meza fighting for it. Comes around back to the left side. Edson stick handling at the line. Heads to the cage. Drops it down the right side. Hanlon can't come up with it. 17 seconds left in the period. Hanlon has it behind the cage. Backhands it to the other side to Hanlon, right corner, and intercepted by Saugus. They'll put a long shot in on goal from his own zone, Ronnie Paolo, with that. And that'll do it for the period. So when the second period starts, we'll have a minute and 1 second remaining in the penalty to Saugus, but Beverly leads 2-0. As a result of a goal by Ryan Munzing at the 35-second mark and the second goal by Braden Clark at 11:02. We'll take a break and we'll come back and listen to our interview with Swampscott hockey coach Gino Fea. You're listening to MSO News Sports. After one, it is Beverly 2, Saugus 0. We'll be back.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Right on the line now is Swampscott High School. Swampscott High School hockey coach Gino Fea. And coach, welcome to MSO and nice to talk with you again. Congratulations on not only the 150 wins, but two wins since last I saw you.
Well, thanks, Rick, and thanks for having me on.
You know, I want to go back to that Beverly game last Wednesday night if we could, because I wonder what your thoughts on that one. I know that that was just... from a fan's perspective, coach, it was a great game to watch. And I wonder how the boys felt after you just peppered the Beverly goalie the last 2 minutes of the game and just couldn't put the puck in. But how were the boys after that one?
Yeah, they were fine. I mean, that was a game I thought it was one of our, actually the best game of the year that we played as a team. You know, the first period we were down 2-0, but we didn't feel it was a 2-0 game. We got one in the second there, and then tied it up in the third. And then, like you said, in the end there, we the puck didn't leave the zone for the last minute 30 while we had the goalie pulled. And just don't know how the puck didn't go in, but that's the way it goes.
I don't know. I mean, I saw it. I called a goal a couple of times, and it just I don't know how the Beverly goalie held on to it, but it was a great game. And Gino, did that game play the way you want? Because it looked like, I mean, you had three lines rotating. Your defense. I mean, it looked to me like they were sort of captains. They were sort of like quarterbacks back there on offense, getting it out of the zone for you.
Yeah, well, we got two of our captains back there on D, Dom Cottesmati and Jack Bosca. They both play on different D pairings, and they log a lot of minutes back there, and we rely on them a lot, and they did a great job.
And your big first line, I mean, they were they looked so strong. I forget who your left winger was, but he had a great game. You know, just a solid game all around. Okay, so that game's over. A tough loss. You closed the gap between you and Beverly. God, you bounced back nicely on Saturday and today.
Yeah, today actually we had a good win over Hamilton Wenham, who's a strong team. You know, they're back in the Velocity program only 2 years into it, but much improved. They were quick, they were aggressive, and you know, they were a tough team today, so it was a good win for us.
What was the key to this one, coach?
Well, I think we got balanced scoring. First two lines, I think we got three goals from each line, and you know, the guys just were playing hard, were less turnovers, which was a problem in the beginning, and playing better in the defensive zone.
Now, the Pingree rink is so cold. What's the ice like? Is it good ice?
Oh, yeah, it's fast because it is so cold there, and it was cold there today.
That is the most uncomfortable rink. Oh, my God. Well, Coach, you know, it's funny. I was asking you sort of with tongue-in-cheek the other night, you know, about all these wins that you've got, 152 now. The 150th, the 100th, the 50th, and so on, all are meaningful. You know, Coach, without maybe going back to the first game, I was wondering if you remember your first win, but is there one or two particular games that still pop into your head, maybe when you're reminiscing with some of your former students or whatever?
I think that the biggest wins were back in 2013 when then we had that great one run and made it to the Boston Garden. I remember the Bedford game. We were down by two goals with, I think it was 2:33 left in the game, and we ended up winning that. And then, of course, the Medway game, which they were picked to win the whole thing. And that game went back and forth, and we ended up winning that in overtime. So that was another one that sticks out for sure.
Do any of those kids stay in touch with you, whether they played hockey or not?
Yeah, I see them around, you know, in town. And, you know, all the guys, they're doing good and they wish the team well. So it's nice to see them and talk about old times.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's cool. Well, I know that. So do you remember your first one, Coach?
No, I don't, but I looked it up because you asked me that the other night.
Right.
And it was the second game I coached, and it was a 10-1 win over Salem.
Wow.
And we had I looked at the score sheet today. We had 8 different scores in that game, so it was a well-balanced win.
That's funny. That's funny that you go back and well, listen, I appreciate it. That's cool. Now you take a look at Swampscott over the years, and have the rivalries changed, Gino? Because consistently it's Swampscott Marblehead across the board in sports. But have since you've been coaching, are there different teams that you sort of the team gets more up for, or you have a harder time against, that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, definitely Marblehead. Obviously, that's the town's rival, but another one that's taken on as a second rival has been the Lynn team.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, we've become their number one rival. So, in essence, we play that as a rival game as well. So, I would say Lynn.
All right, what about your schedule this year? Now, you've played up out of your division several times, and that's got to give the kids some good experience. And you're sitting at 5-3-3. So, give me a mid-season report card, Gino.
I would say we're doing, about expected. We're definitely doing better. We've improved the last few games. Like I said, cutting down on the turnovers and better D-zone. We do have some tough teams coming up second half of the season, and we kind of planned that, hoping that we could get into the tournament, and then it would make us tournament-tested, so... We definitely have some games, some challenging games ahead of us.
All right, you got Gloucester coming up, and they're scoring a lot of goals. So, what do you see? What are you going to do? Try to do maybe not differently, but try to do to beat these guys coming up.
Yeah, they're a big physical team. They're fast. They got some offense. The D are good. They're definitely a solid team. So we just got to keep things simple. Pucks out of our zone, pucks into their zone, and. Mainly getting pucks on net and then getting bodies and pucks to the net.
All right, and I asked you this the other night. I'm going to ask you again. Tell me a little bit more about your captains, because I don't know, how many people listen to the game, but they were very impressive, especially those two big guys on D. Your goalie was outstanding too. But tell me again about your captains, how they played for you, Coach.
Yeah, so Stevie Santinello, he's a captain for you, forward. He's a leading goal scorer on the team, and he's really just been solid all year. And then, like I had mentioned, Dom Cottespotti and Jack Posca are on D. Both those guys log in a lot of minutes. Sometimes we got to remind them they can't play every minute of every game. And then, of course, we have Dan Johnson and Nett, who one of the top goalies in the league, and he always gives us a chance to win.
Absolutely. Coach, final question. How important is it to have that kind of communication you have from your captains? I mean, you've got not one, but you got two guys back there on defense. And, when they play with a different partner, it seems like you've always got you've got a quarterback on the ice all the time.
Yeah, it's really big, especially from back there, because they do act as the quarterback. The play starts back there, and you want to get it up and out. And those guys, they've had a lot of experience, and they're able to help the younger guys and get them coming along.
Coach, I appreciate it. We're going to follow you guys, obviously. And, thanks for taking the time tonight, Gino, and congratulations on today's win as well.
All right, thanks for having me.
Take care, Coach. Talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye-bye. That is Swampscott High School hockey coach Gino Fea.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our 3 locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
This is MSO NewsSports.com.
All right, the Beverly Panthers have returned to the ice for the start of the second period, leading 2-0 in this one, still waiting Sagar Sachem's arrival. You heard Gino Fea, Swampscott hockey coach, between periods one and two. And after the second period, we're going to try to check in with Bill Newell, who will be covering some boys' basketball tonight. Bill is going to be over at the Lynn Classical Lynn English basketball game. That will be starting in a little while, and we'll check in with Bill between periods two and three of this hockey game. Meantime, in this one, it was Beverly striking first, and very quickly at the 35-second mark, goal off of Ryan Munzing, who led the attack, put a backhander pass goaltender Devereaux for Saugus, with Hallinan getting his first assist of the night, and it was 1-0 at that point. Second goal for the Panthers was scored at 11:02, slap shot from the right point by Braden Clark of Beverly. And again, that came at 11:02, as we mentioned, and Hanlon and Hallinan both getting the assists, as Hallinan picks up his second assist of the evening. So 2-0 at that point. Just the one penalty in the period, that was assessed to Hanlon at 3:42, but didn't do anything on the scoreboard. Now, Saugus will start the period with the man in the penalty box. It's Ryan Gwart. He still has a minute and 1 second left to go on his penalty. We've changed sides. Doyle defending now down to our right for the Panthers. Devereaux to the left for the Sachems. And here we go. It is Paolo on the faceoff. And Worthley has it. He sends it down into the Beverly end. Now they are on the attack. Power play is Saugus. Yet they just send one man down. Oh, I'm sorry, they're short. Excuse me. So it's the Panthers coming back. No wonder they just sent one in. My bad. I get confused. Hanlon with it. Centering pass to Edson. Score in the open net. Big rebound left side. Munzing puts it in. And it's 3-0 Beverly. This one on the power play. Wide open net for Munzing. So Edson should get one assist. Might even be a second. Once again, Beverly scores early in the first minute. This time it is in at 23 seconds of this second period, and it is a power play goal. 3-0 Beverly. And again, we'll pause for the assist. Really good PA system here. You can hear the announcements very, very easily. So Beverly pressing the attack again. They've been averaging about 4 goals per game.
Goal scorer number 9, Ryan Munzing. Assisted by number 17, Paul Edson. Oh! And number 6, Connor Hanlon. Time of goal, 23 seconds.
Hanlon gets his second assist of the night. Edson, the other assist, as we mentioned. And for Munzing, it's his second goal of the night. Saugus trying to get something going. As they're in the offensive zone, but they lose it, and Connor Hanlon flying down the right wing side. Nobody near him. Drop pass to Munzing. Slap shot kicked out by Devereaux all the way back out to the point. Slap shot deflected, open corner was there, and it was just blocked, I think, by Devereaux, as it was Clark putting the pressure on, who already has a goal from that point. Panthers lose it, comes out to center ice. Dante McGrain trying to get it, and it comes out back to the neutral zone. Paolo avoids a check as he backhands it into the Sachem's offensive zone. Beverly defensive end. Saugus changes up, and they're able to put some pressure on. Lorenzo Keegan fighting for the puck. Comes away with it. Drops it back to the point. Slap shot doesn't get through. Shot by Graffio, and here comes Beverly, 3-on-2, right wing side. It is a shot from the right wing side, top of the circle. Didn't see who fired it, but it was hung on to by Devereaux. Bad angle there, and again, we've got all this structural thingamajiggies in front of us, right to the end of the Saugus bench. Half of the zone down to my left is obscured by all the pipe work and so on, netting and fencing and chicken wire and everything else. Plays at center. First minute and a half, second, 2.5 minutes gone by in this second period. Beverly now leading 3-0. Panthers chip it into the Saugus zone. And the three Beverly players on the left side cleared out, well, all the way down into the Beverly end by Saugus. And again, it's that bad angle. I couldn't see who did it, but it was the Sachems, and they'll have to regroup again in their own zone. Two goals by Munzing tonight. One by Clark. Beverly leading 3-0. McCarthy will take the draw for the Panthers, and he wins it, comes back to the point, but it is, it's still, McCarthy has it. He's between the circles, but he is bothered. We have a breakout now for Saugus, right wing side, 2-on-1, intercepted at the line, and the Sachems still are able to put something on. Lorenzo Keegan comes up with it. He pops it around. Saugus clears it again. No icing this time. And the Sachems will... Beverly cleared it, I'm sorry. So the Sachems pick it up. It's Joe Cross with it for Saugus. Looking for that long left wing feed over to Ryan Granara. He's checked at center. Panthers bounce it in on goaltender Devereaux by McCarthy. Devereaux gloves it, sticks it aside with his stick after the glove. And Saugus bring it out of the zone. It is Drew Werther with it. Centering pass. Shot goes wide. Oh, man, it's blocked. Oh, terrific setup by Werther. Over to Granera. Right back come the Panthers, and it's fired wide on the return by Kenny Richardson. Goes into the right wing corner. Richardson with D'Amato and Cotro out there. Cotro at center. Richardson has it. And now it goes over to D'Amato, circling back at the left point. Drops it back to Shea. He sends it down deep looking for Richardson. And Cotro has it. He's at the circle right. Drops it in the right point to Cassidy, who sends it back in. Now it's in the left wing corner. Fighting for it is D'Amato. Goes from left to right. Sticks it back to the right point. Cleared all the way around by Cassidy. Comes around to the left point. Clark can't keep it in. And comes out of the zone. Tracked down by Cassidy. And it's icing on Saugus. So the Sachems getting a little out-hustled here in this second period. Trailing 3-0. 10:46 left to go, second period. Beverly on top, 3-0. Once again, draw to the right of Devereaux. And Hanlon fights for it. He shoots, pad saved by Devereaux. Rebound cleared away by Saugus. They'll bring it out. Dante McGrain with it. He's got Nick Moore with him on the left side. Score! Centering pass to Moore. He puts it home. And it's now 3-1. So Moore for McGrain. Saugus is on the board. Goal is at 4:26. And that cuts the Beverly lead to 3-1. Play resumes as we await the announcement. And that's got to lift Saugus, give them some confidence. Mr. Good two-on-one pass play that time, and it was finished off nicely by Moore. All right, the play is in the Beverly end as we resume play after the score. Clark will get it out to the blue line in the neutral zone. Taken away by Saugus. Sachem's fighting for it. C.J. Graffio on the attack, sends it down low. Rebound in front. Graffio just misfires. Rodriguez also gets the assist on the goal. So it is Moore from McGrain and Rodriguez. And another opportunity. Beverly now with some heat in the Saugus zone. Munzing battling for the puck in the right wing corner. And he is being bumped by Rodriguez. Helping out is Torres. And it's taken away by Rodriguez. Now it's C.J. Graffio down there fighting for it. He gets it up ahead to Ryan Groark. Groark with a one-on-one. He's motoring down the left wing side, but nobody with him as he backhanded it over to the back-checking Paul Edson, who retreats behind his own cage. Excuse me. He, in turn, is going to leave it for McCarthy. McCarthy has it on the left wing side, sends it ahead to Edson, picks up a winger, cuts it to center. Now he goes back, and all the way back to his own blue line. Edson, opening up the play, tries to center it, and it's cleared into the Saugus end by Shane Cassidy. Keeps it in. Cassidy along the line, broken up at the line. Groark is able to get it out right wing side to Torres. Torres is centering pass, and it's a shot by Paulo. He goes wide. He was sent in alone, and we have a whistle. Great effort that time by the Sachems, trying to cut the lead to 1-3-1, Beverly over Saugus. And it's picked up considerably for the Saugus offense. Torres, Paolo, Gorak out there for Saugus in the Beverly end. And it's at the right point, checked by Nick Moore at the right point. We have a penalty on Beverly as it's covered up. So it's to Edson. I missed that one. Edson for hooking at 6:27. Power play for the Sachems. Big opportunity for Saugus. They have it in the Beverly end, trying to form it up. There's a scrum for it to the right of Doyle. Two Sachems. They come away with it. And it's a bad angle shot. Goes up off the shoulder of Doyle. Looked like Moore with the shot. Hacked at, back at the left point. Grafio over to the right side to Rodriguez at the right point. He sends it through. It goes into the left wing corner. Left point. Grafio slides it along the ice. Block deflected right wing side. Chased down by Rodriguez. Torres fighting for the puck. Centering pass in the slot. Backhanded. And it's a save by Doyle and cleared away by Beverly. Oh, man. Great chance that time by Torres. And by Nick Moore. And Doyle was able to weather the storm. 52 seconds left in the Beverly penalty. 7.5 left to go in the second period. Saugus comes right back. And Moore is stapled along the boards. Play is in the Beverly end. Grafio squirts it over to Gorak. Taken away, though, by Munzing. Gets it back to Grafio. Stick handling. Closes. Shoots. Blocked. Panthers, 2-on-none. Breakout. Hanlon can't get the pass from Munzing. Goes into the left wing corner. They had a 2-on-0, and they muffed it. Shorthanded bid, 15 seconds left in the Saugus penalty. Check at the Saugus power play. Once again, Hanlon at the line. This time it's a 1-on-1. He shoots, and it's a save by Devereaux with 5 seconds left in the Saugus power play. Oh, man, great chances on the power play, and pretty good chance in the penalty kill as well. .637 left to go, second period, 3-1 Beverly. This draw is won by McCarthy in the Saugus end. Can't get it back to the point, so he sends it down to the right wing corner, and he's being chased by Grafio. Can't center it. Sachems will get it out of the zone. And they have a 2-on-1. Now on the left wing side, Grafio misfires, can't get up, come up with it. And now it's out in front, cleared to the sideboard. It was Granara with it. John Torres has it. Penalty is over. 5-on-5. Beverly intercepts, bring it out of the zone. And it's Meza with it. Loses it left side. Saugus brings it right back. Back and forth we go. Slap shot by Lorenzo Keegan. Way off the mark. And that brings Edson out of the zone. He's intercepted by Saugus. Cleared diagonally left to right. Empty corner. Clark to pick it up for Beverly. Gets it over to Carroll. Slides it out of the zone. Deflects into the Saugus end. Devereaux out of the net. He's going to leave it. Check it. He's going to leave it for Cogliano. Pagliano gets it out of the zone, and it squirts out into the Beverly end. This will not be icing, and it's tracked down by Shane Cassidy. Cassidy is intercepted at the point. Slap shot by Grafio. Comes to the other point. Oh, and a misfire by Cogliano. Beverly right back, pressing the attack. Munzing out of the zone, down the left wing corner. And Cogliano is going to be there first. Oh, he goes into the board heavily. He goes into the end boards very heavily. He's down and up. So stunned there for a second with 5 minutes even left to go in this second period. Back and forth we go. Penalty on Munzing. Penalty at 10 minutes even. Another chance for Saugus to cut into this lead. This might be a major. Stand by. Munzing is in the penalty box, but they don't have the penalty. It's a major. Whoa, 5 minute major on Munzing. What an opportunity now for Saugus. Bobby Hunter also goes into the penalty box for Beverly. And the play resumes now. Great chance for the Sachems, but they're busted out to center ice. Graffio almost lost it for a breakout for Beverly. Saugus gets it back, though, and they're able to tee up a shot by Nick Moore, right wing side. Goes weakly by the cage and circles around to the right. Panthers clear it out of the zone. Rodriguez can't keep it in. Sent back in by Saugus as they tag up. Beverly out of the zone. All the way down into the Saugus end. Major penalty by Munzing. Still has 4:22 left to go in it. Ryan Gork skating at center. 1-on-3. Checked at the line. Torres picks it up. He's checked. Foot race back into the Beverly end. Graffio deked by McCarthy, who has it, but Graffio gets some help from Torres. And Edson sits on the puck. Hit from behind is the call. Long shot from the point. Slides in harmlessly on the goalie, who covers up. And then we got some pushing and shoving afterwards. So the penalty is from hitting from behind. 3-1. Munzing a goal in this period for Beverly. Nick Moore a goal for Saugus. Panthers had the first three goals. Saugus still with 3:49 left to go in the penalty. In the power play, Beverly has the penalty. Draw will be to the right of Doyle. Some explanations going on. I don't know why. Bill Newell will be with us between periods 2 and 3. He's over at Lynn Classical, Lynn English, Lynn Classical. Check it. He's over at Lynn English. Basketball game. We'll check in on that one. Officials discussing the route home, perhaps? I just don't know. 3:49 left in the penalty. 3:49 left in the period. And here we go. Face off to the right of Doyle. Won by the Panthers. Steve Hallinan clears it for Beverly. Back on the point, Joe Cross and Drew Worthley. But it's stolen by Beverly. Get it back. They get it back to the point. And kept in at the right point, Finn Crocker sends it around the boards. Slides it around. Saugus forms it up. They'll bring it out of the zone. Overskating the puck, though, was Ryan Granara. Finally able to flip it in diagonally to the right wing side. Oh, first man down there. Paolo puts a bad angle shot.
In line of corrupting,
There's a score on the power play by Saugus, as we were listening to it. The puck was loose, and it's hammered home by Grenauer. There were matching penalties on Beverly and Saugus, so it didn't affect the playing strength. Or did it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's right. So Saugus cuts it the lead now. The power play effort. They score, and I believe it's Grenauer's goal. And it is a power play, and they still have the power play. This goal comes at 11:58. 3-2. And there's still 3 minutes left in the man advantage for Saugus, and they've cut the lead to 3-2. 1-2-3-4-5. 1-2-3-4. There we go. Teed up right side through a screen. Deflected. It hits the crossbar. Man, that was fired by Cross. It was deflected in front. Went up over the goalie and hit the top crossbar. Another shot goes wide. Cross with the right wing side. Paulo gets the assist on the Grenauer goal. Slides it through. Centering pass. And Rook can't pick it up. Back to Cross at the right point. Still 2 minutes and 18 seconds left in the man advantage for Saugus. They're all over Beverly at the moment. Down in the left wing corner, Rodriguez forms it up, sends it around across, who closes right side, keeps it in, goes behind the cage, and it is cleared away out to the zone, out to neutralized by the Panthers' Shane Cassidy. Saugus, Cross, fires along the ice, glove save on the ice by Doyle, deflects it into the right wing corner. Comes back to the point, through a screen, Torres, he is blocked. Comes back to the point, skips out to center ice. Worthley wasn't able to keep it in. Right wing feed to Torres, across the line, drop pass to Moore, fires it up high and into the, no, it's not in the net, it was McGrain with a shot, deflected back all the way out to center ice. Minute and a half left to go in the period, minute and a half left to go in the penalty. So Beverly still on the penalty kill. Munzing in the box for hitting from behind on the major. Intercepted by McCarthy at center ice. Lugs it across the line. On the attack. Shorthanded bid. Short side. Block. Goes around the boards. Still now back behind the cage. Rodriguez fighting for it for Saugus, trying to get it out of the zone. They have the man advantage, but they're hemmed in right now. Shot from the right point. Goes wide by Braden Clark of Beverly. Goes down low. Saugus trying to come out with it. And they finally do form it up, but bad pass intercepted by the Panthers at center. Cleared into the Beverly end. A check it into the Saugus end. Inside a minute now, 42 seconds left to go. Here comes Paolo, heads to the net. Bad angle, shoots up, rebound, and it's cleared out. Oh, man, it was in the goal. There it is. Goal. On the rebound, the game is tied. Dante McGrain ties it up. Puck was just sitting there, came back out between the points. The puck was sitting there again. Doyle was down and out. And McGrain hammered it home. The game is tied. Another power play goal. Another power play at 14:30. Three straight goals now by the Sachems, and they still have a 30-second man advantage. Faceoff back at center ice. Saugus has come storming back to tie this game up. Sachems with a man advantage for the next 23 seconds now. Play resumes. Joe Cross puts the brakes on, reverses direction, bounces it off the boards in front of the Saugus cage, Saugus bench rather, and the Panthers go back and collect it. McGrain's unassisted. I'm surprised at that. And now we'll end the period. So after two, Saugus has come roaring back, and they've tied this game up at three after the Panthers had the first three. Saugus gets the next three, and we are all tied up. In this second period, it's Munzing to make it 3-0 for Beverly. That came at 23 seconds. Then Nick Moore on the scoreboard for McGrain and Rodriguez at 4:26, cutting the lead to 3-1. at, 11:58, the first of two power play goals. This one was Ryan Granara. That, in, as we said, came at 11:58, cutting the goal to the score to 3-2. Paulo, the assist, and then tying it up at 14:30. McGrane, unassisted, puck just lying there on the doorstep, and all he had to do was tap it behind the goaltender and tie this thing up. So there we are. It is all tied after 3-3, Saugus and Beverly. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll check in with Bill Newell, who's over at Lynn English High School, checking in on the Lynn English Lynn Classical basketball game. So stay with us.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, after two here in Beverly, the score is tied. Saugus coming back with the three straight goals to tie this thing up at 3-3. And joining us now on the line from Lynn English High School is Bill Newell. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Rick. We right now are in the middle of the anthem. Hold on here.
Okay. Well, we can't do much about that. All right. So let me know.
Our timing's not good here.
Well, you know, that's what happens with the monitors off, I guess. Let me just recap this one on this side. Beverly with the first three goals. It was Ryan Munzing at 35 seconds of the first period. And then it was Braden Clark at 11:02 of the first, making it 2-0 after one. Munzing made it 3-0 Beverly at the 23-second mark of the second before Beverly saw Saugus come storming back three straight goals. Nick Moore at 4:26, Ryan Granara at 11:58, and then McGrane at 14:30, and that tied the score at 3. The last two goals as a result of the five-minute major on Beverly. So we're in the national anthem over at Lynn English. Bill Newell covering Lynn English, Lynn Classical Basketball. We'll have more on that later on tonight. And we have more basketball coming up on Friday night as well.
One minute, Rick. One moment.
Yep. Between periods 2 and 3 from Saugus. Check it from Beverly.
All right, Rick. There okay. You go. Over the patience. How about that?
There you go. So what do you got going on over there?
All right. So what we got here, what we have is between classical boys basketball. The girls are playing over at classical tonight. This is a non-league game because, as you know, with the new Northeastern Conference basketball scheduling, with the GBL teams involved, former GBL teams, is that we only...
Yep. I think I lost you.
They both the schools wanted to play each other twice, as they always have. So they scheduled the non-league game. So this is it, the non-league game, English and classical. So they do play at least twice during the regular season. And so right now we're probably starting a few minutes late here tonight. JV game won by English High School. Both starting lineups being introduced at this point, classical and English. So should be a great game here tonight between these two teams, that's for sure.
All right, what's the Vegas line on this game, Bill?
Vegas line, I don't know. I think that it should be a good game. I think everyone's back for classical. They had missed a couple of players last week. My quick check of things here. I just got here a few minutes ago, but it looks like people are here. Here's how big this game is. You know how a lot of schools don't have the stands pulled out on both sides these days?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they've got the stands pulled out both sides tonight for this game here at English High School. And there's a good crowd on hand here as well.
Well,
they're still coming in, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, it probably warms it up a little bit. Probably warms it up a little bit. It probably warms it up a little bit because here at the Bork Arena, man, it is cold and it is empty. I mean, there may be 30 people down behind one cage. There may be for Beverly student body, maybe 30 people over there. And, man, that's it. Not too many other than that. And it's cold in this ring. Bill, what about on Friday night? Now, you've got a game coming up there as well?
Yeah, so Friday night, we always kind of try to pick the game of the night. And we're going to go into the girls for the first time, girls action for the first time this year with a live game. And that would be Classical Revere. Now, Lynn Classical was without Paris Wilkie earlier this week against Beverly. When they kind of escaped the Beverly with a win the other night, winning it at the free throw line down the stretch, but a great win for them on the road. And so they'll host Revere, a team that is still a very good team. So it should be a great matchup Friday night at Classical High School. So that's 7 o'clock Friday night, Revere girls at Classical. Revere may have lost a little bit from last year's team, a very good team, but. You know, Classical's done a very nice job this year. They only got the one loss, so should be a very good game this Friday night.
Okay, and thanks for putting us on to Newburyport High School. We talked with the coach up there on Monday night, and as luck would have it, Bill, everybody we talked to on Monday night, three of the four coaches lost games that day, but they were gracious enough to talk with us anyway. Tough day.
Oh, you know, they had Newburyport boys, and that was their first loss of the whole season.
Exactly.
Right there, and they lost at Pawtucket that day, and the matinee game on Martin Luther King Day, and so. But both the boys and the girls at Newburyport have really had great seasons so far, so we'll have to follow up on that, you know, at some point down the road. And we are underway here in Lynn with the Rams leading here 2-0.
All right. So we got the early score on that one, and thanks to you.
That's the early score. Yeah.
There you go. And in girls hockey tonight too, you reported that Peabody beat Beverly 5-2. So we've got that one as well.
And you may be surprised at this, but we're now tied at 2 here.
Okay. All right, Bill. Okay, so we'll look forward to the report tonight. I know you'll have this game up there, and then we'll be promoting the game on Friday night.
Yep, you got it.
Okay,
and,
Bill.
There's a bunch of games. There's scattered, different kind of games tonight. If you look, we'll put a schedule up there later tonight, but there's some odd games tonight. We'll try to have some scores up tonight, and then, as you mentioned, Friday night. There's not a lot going on tomorrow night around the North Shore, but Friday night, a lot more stuff, obviously. We'll keep folks posted.
Okay.
Bye, Rick.
Okay, Bill, thanks. Talk to you later.
Take care. Yep. Bye-bye.
All right, that is Bill Newell, who is over at Lynn Classical. Lynn English Lynn Classical game just underway, and it sounds so weird to say that that's not a league game. Lynn English and Lynn Classical playing basketball, and it's not a league game. That is just too weird. All right, this one's tied at 3, Beverly and Saugus. Looks like we're going to have a hell of a finish coming up here, so we'll take a break, and then we'll come back with third period action. You're listening to MSO News Sports, and right now, again, 3-3 after 2 from the Bork Arena.
Follow North Shore Sports at msonewsports.com. Live radio game coverage of the top local games. Feature interviews with players and coaches, both audio and videos. Join us Monday nights at 7 for North Shore Sports Night, an hour of local sports talk with featured guests. For scores, photos, radio and video interviews, live game coverage, spread the word. Check out msonewsports.com. Follow us on Twitter and get our easy-to-use mobile app, msonewsports.com.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next-door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call, 888-283-CASB, or visit capeannsavingsbank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, the freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open Tuesday through Sunday, 11:30 a.m. to midnight, closed Mondays. The restaurant features two separate function rooms ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com.
All right, just scrolling through the scoreboard here, and Winthrop is tied 1-1 after one, but I don't know who they're playing. And Marblehead is leading 1-0 over Medford in the second. Rockport was leading Shawsheen 1-0 after one. And again, in girls hockey, it was Beverly 5 and Swampscott 2. That is the final. We start the third period at even strength and an even scoreboard. It is 3-3. Beverly with the first three goals, Saugus with the next three, and this looks to be a wild finish. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Face off at center. Nobody in the penalty box. Score all knotted up at three as we begin the third. And this one is won by Saugus. Goes back in on goaltender Devereaux, forcing Worthley to make a play over to Cross, but he's intercepted by Meza on the doorstep. Cross will fight him for the puck and send it into the right wing corner. Hodson drops it back to the right point, though, Edson rather, and it's kept in at the right point by Shane Cassidy. And it's cleared by the Sachems. Actually, it was cleared by Beverly between the points. Now that means that the Panthers have to go back into their own zone to try to get it out. And, of course, forechecking immediately are the Sachems. Torres down low, intercepted by Beverly, back out to center ice. Play is at the blue line, taken by Nick Moore. He skates in on goal, and he loses it, tapped off the puck, just checked into the left wing corner. Andrew Meza, in turn, loses it to Dante McGrain, who has the goal tonight for Saugus. Edson looking for McCarthy, intercepted. Play is at center still. Back and forth between the blue lines. Graffio flying down the left wing side. CJ Graffio for Saugus carries it in to the left wing corner. Goal line extended, drops it back to the point, kept in at that point by Grenauer. Beverly takes it out of the zone. On the right wing side, down the line is Michael Brock for the Panthers, number 10. Haven't seen him out there. As McCarthy can't get it, and it's cleared out of the zone by Saugus at the line. Fired by Granaro, wide in the Beverly end. Just tapped out of the zone by the Panthers. Worthley picks it up, circles in front of his own cage, goes to the left wing corner, and sends it out of the zone. Munzing shoots it back in, delayed offside on Beverly. They tag up. And buzzing around down there forechecking is Mike Brock, but he loses it, and it comes away for Saugus, right wing side. Graffio slides it along, can't do much with it, and it's blocked into the right wing corner. Checking going on there, goes down low. Saugus, Beverly fighting for it. No penalty on the Panthers, says everybody on the Saugus bench put their hands up. Cleared back to the line, kept in at the right line by Worthley. Slides it around the cage, taken away by Shane Cassidy. Gets it between the points out to the neutral zone. Laid offside once again as it's flipped back to center ice. Directed along its way by Hamlin. All the way around, Worthley sets it up. And blind pass just trickles out of the zone into center ice. Play right in front of us along the bench. Joe Cross taps it off the boards. Icing is waved off. Picked up down low by Finn Crocker for Beverly. Disorganized play right now. Each team doing some good forechecking. Saugus trying to get collected in the Beverly and can't. And it's a loose puck to center ice. Played a couple of minutes here in this. Actually played 3 minutes and 15 seconds so far. There's an attempt right out in front, but nobody there to pick it up. And back to the left point in the zone, and it's a score by Saugus. Set up from the left point, it was Graffio with a slap shot, and the Sachems take the lead. So another shot from the point that has seeing eyes and gets past the Beverly goaltender. This goal comes at 3:23. It is 4-3 Saugus. Now, I don't think it, well, it might have been deflected, but Graffio was the one who teed it up. Here comes Edson, centering pass, left side shot goes just behind the cage for Beverly. They're on the attack, trailing right now. 4-3. It was deflected. Torres gets the goal. Here comes Graffio closing. He shoots. It's a glove save by Doyle. As that one was from about 20 feet away. Wrist shot that time. So Graffio gets the assist. Torres the goal. And it's now 4-3 Saugus as they have scored four in a row on the Shell-Shock Panthers. Face-off to the right of Doyle. 11:06 left to go in the game. Paolo will take the face-off for Saugus. And it's won by Beverly, by Hanlon. Shoots it around the boards all the way around to D'Amato. At center ice. Ryan Granara fights for it, and he'll flip it into the Beverly end. Picked up by the Panthers' D, excuse me, Finn Crocker, and he'll send it on ahead to Steve Hallinan, but it's deflected back into the Beverly end. And keeping it in is Drew Worthley for Saugus. Goes all the way around left wing side. Panthers disorganized, having a real hard time getting anything going. Big check at center ice as Hanlon goes sprawling. Puck is redirected into the Saugus end. Drew Worthley with it. Over the other side to Cross. Kept in by Edson, though, for Beverly. Shot deflected, goes wide from that left point. Back at the left point, I think it was Aaron Carroll. I think it's 8-6. Still in the Saugus end. Yeah, it was Carroll. And the Sachems finally have it. Seeing eye pass out of the zone to Paolo in his skates. He's able to collect it and send it around the boards. John Torres with the go-ahead goal. Tries to stuff it. Loose puck bouncing around near the crease. It's out in front. And it's dropped back to the point. Teed up from the left point. Goes wide. That shot was by Cogliano. Beverly back the other way. McCarthy wrist shot bounces in front. And it's cleared away as Devereaux didn't quite have control of it. Back to the point. Edson centers it. Collision in front and bouncing out of his cage is Devereaux, but he misses the puck, taken away by Saugus anyway out of the zone. Ryan Gorick with it, tries to split the D. He shoots it wide, picks up his own rebound left corner. He looks for Graffio. Turnaround shot by Nick Moore goes wide. Down to 9 minutes left to go in the game, 4-3 Saugus. Lake comes out to center ice. Braden Clark can't come up with it. Panthers finally do. McCarthy all by himself with a one-on-three as they need a line change. He'll just deflect it into the Saugus zone. Five Sachems back. One forechecker in for Beverly. And it comes out to the left wing side, out of the zone, as Nick Moore can't quite come up with it. Dropping back is Shane Cassidy for Beverly. Tremendous hit in the right wing corner. Panther goes flying. It was Nick Moore laying him out. Keeping the puck in the Beverly zone. Oh, there's a tremendous check again. That certainly looked like charging. Shot, save, along the ice by Doyle. Shot was from Graffio once again. Big rebound, big deflection, comes back out to center ice. Panthers are able to get it into the Beverly end. Steve Hallinan is able to get it in, but no offense at the moment. Hallinan fighting for it, trying to get some help from Anthony D'Amato. Kept in. Nope. Cleared out to the center ice. And it is a lot of heavy hitting going on as Keegan can't come up with it. Puck comes back into the Saga zone. Nobody with it at the moment. Graffio with it. He's got a winger with him down the left wing side. Slap shot. Glove save by Doyle. He just flipped out that left glove, picked it off, and held on. Halfway through the third, it's 4-3 Saugus. Ebb and flow in this one. The tide has come and gone. Beverly with the first three goals. Saugus with the next four. Beverly down by one. Saugus with the territorial advantage in this period. They have been all over the Panthers at even strength. Meza with it. Feeds it to Edson, who has to come off the ice. Goes into the right wing corner in the Saugus zone. Panthers, McCarthy, circle left. Centers it. Hamlin on the doorstep. Can't tuck it home. Rebound goes behind the cage. And it's covered up by Devereaux. Good chance that time by Hamlin down low. And we're down to 7:03 now. Faceoff to the right of Devereaux. Rodriguez will take the faceoff for Saugus. And I think it's McCarthy out there for Beverly. Panthers controlling at the left point. Trying to weave it through. Centering pass. Meza can't come up with it. He falls down. Uh-oh. He was tripped, I think. So this could be, and actually it was D'Amato who was tripped.
Let's get one.
And let's see. Yep. Penalty coming up on Cross at 8:07. Well, now Beverly has the man advantage and penalties. Well, one penalty was big. The 5-minute major was big for Beverly as Saugus got two goals during that 5-minute penalty. This draw is won by Beverly, but it goes between the points all the way back to Cross. Or check it all the way back to Doyle, who leaves it for McCarthy. Edson winding up at center. Goes off the stick. Cleared right away by the Saugus defense. Racing for the puck is McGrain. He gets it, and he's being bothered by McCarthy. Panthers will form it up and bring it out. They're on a mission. Edson too close to Meza, though. Meza weaving from right to left. Turns around, leaves it, and a shot, and it's a goal. It is tied up. As Panthers were all over at that time, just buzzing toward the net. Edson leading the attack, and I believe it is Hallinan with the goal. Just a big buzz in front, all kinds of feet and sticks there, and it was just tapped home by Hallinan. Power play goal comes at 8:44. And once again, the game is tied. Play resumes while we wait for the announcement. Meza across the line. Drop pass from McCarthy, but it squirts back out to center. Well, as usual, I missed it, screwed it up. It's Edson with the goal from Hallinan and Hamlin. So Edson gets the power play goal, tying this game up with 5:37 left to go. Hamlin in the right wing corner for Beverly. Gets some help from D'Amato. Back to the right point. Slap shot. Stick save. Puck is loose in the crease. Still loose. Goes behind the cage. Four or five players back there for it. Saugus comes away with it. Graffio, who's been a force all night, is rubbed along the boards in front of the Saugus cage. And the puck goes along the Beverly line, the Beverly blue line. Aaron Carroll gets it to the Saugus blue line. Graffio once again on this left wing side. Now he cuts it over to the right, being dogged by Meza, who checks him nicely. And it is collected by Ryan Groark. Edson is checked at the line nicely. Paulo picks it up for Saugus, offside Beverly. 4:42 left to go in this one. Game tied at 4. Now you got to have discipline. Each team has to have discipline. 4-4 is the score. Saugus clears it into the Beverly end. Being chased down by Torres. And I don't know what's going on now. Play has stopped. And again, it's through that maze of piping. Very difficult to see. So it's I don't know what happened. Maybe it's covered up by the goalie, but no harm, no foul. 4:32 left to go in the game. Face off to the right of Doyle in the Beverly end. Shane Cassidy whips it around the boards. Cleared out of the zone. Too far for McCarthy. Chasing it down as Meza. Shot and a save by Devereaux as the net becomes dislodged. Oh, man. Great second effort just to get to the puck by Meza. Don't even know how he got to it. And he put it in on Devereaux. And Devereaux had to make the save. And Beverly player crashed into the net, knocking it loose. So the faceoff will be outside the zone. Four-four is the score. Beverly, Saugus. Fighting for the puck. Everybody. It's in the Saugus end. Steve Hallinan heads to the cage with Munzing closing. Can't get the pass to him. Goes into the right wing corner. Rodriguez around the net. Hacked at by Hallinan. Fights for the puck on the along the wing boards, about mid-zone. Taken away by the Sachems, and they get it out. It is Rodriguez on that right wing side. Trying to center it to Nick Moore. Nobody home. And it comes back out to center ice, where Nick Moore has to collect it. He'll fire it back in. That makes Braden Clark go back and pick it up for the Panthers. Gets it ahead, left wing side. Who is that? The McCarthy. Two Saugus players bump into each other, and the puck goes into the Saugus end. Broken stick along the ice. Torres loses it. Paolo fighting for it. And puck is right in front of us in the bench, cleared into the zone by Saugus, into the Beverly end. First man back there is Shane Cassidy for the Beverly Panthers. Stolen at the line, deflected in on goal, and it's a skate save by Doyle. As that puck somehow got through off the stick of Graffio. Graffio back with it once again, and this is offside at the line, at the Beverly line. The Sachems are offside. Mercy. So we're down to 2:58 left to go in this one. 3 goals for Beverly to open up the game, 4 for Saugus, the next 4 for the Sachems, and then Beverly tied it here on a power play effort. Off the stick of Edson at 8:44, and that's where we are with just under 3 minutes left to go in the game. Far side stands, everybody standing up. Near side, what few people are here are sitting down. Shot, closing, save by Doyle. And that was a big opportunity by Groark. He was left unattended, and he was blasting it from just off the doorstep, Doyle's left side. And that's where the faceoff will be. Somebody left a mouthpiece on the ice and just picked it up and put it back in. Why not? Okay, I'm not going to say who did that. So it is kept in by Cogliano. Loose puck, and it's just cleared away by the Panthers, and they're able to get it out to center ice, forcing Cogliano to go back, backtracking, pick it up, gets it over to Graffio. And he, in turn, fires it up to the line. Too far ahead for Torres. This will be icing. .231 left to go in the game. Bill Newell will have game coverage. Lynn Classical in English basketball tonight. That'll be up on our site in just a little while. At the end of one, it's Lynn English High School 17 and Lynn Classical 8 in boys basketball. Thanks, Bill. This one is tied at 4 with 2:23 left to go. Saugus on the attack. Beverly will come away with the puck and out of the zone. Edson can't pick it up. He stopped at the line. Sachem's keeping in. Nick Moore wheeling with it between the circles. Turn around, shoots it. It's blocked over, goes into the right wing corner. McGrain tries to get back, it back to Moore. Cross trying to keep it in. Left side can't. Comes out of the zone. Meza racing for the puck, but Worthley has it first in his own zone for Saugus. Back out to center it comes. Long feed for Meza. This will be icing on Beverly. With 1:49 left to go in the game. Now, when the game ends, we're going to wrap this thing up quickly and see if we can go get an interview or two with the coaches for our coverage on the website. And as someone once said, I can't feel my toes. Face off back in the Beverly end to the right of Doyle. Torres out there for Saugus. Hanlon for Beverly. Torres wins it. Gets it to Graffio. Glove save from the point shot. Just a wrist shot up high. Play in the right wing corner. Beverly in. Gort fighting for it. Drops it back to the right point. Hit the post. It got by the goalie. The shot was by Cogliano. Doyle didn't see it, and it hit the far post, his right side. And the shot was from the right point. We're down to 1:27. 4-4, Saugus and Beverly. Torres against Hanlon again. To the right of Doyle. And Panthers get it out of the zone. Intercepted at the line by Graffio. And he flips it right back in on the backhand. Minute and 18 left. Beverly, Edson, one on two. Picks up a winger, slides it over left wing side. And it goes off the stick of the Beverly Panther. Drops, can't see who it is, the Beverly player. Drops it back to the point, shot, blocked. Saugus, chance to bring it out, can't. Carroll goes back for Beverly. Backhands it around, gets it to Edson. Shoots it up right side, deflected by McCarthy in the zone. Going to go back and pick it up is Cogliano. Gets it away from Meza. Oh, centering pass by the Panthers as they were able to intercept, but Saugus brings it out. Collision along the boards, Meza with it, turns around, 34 seconds left to go in the game. Play continues. Wrapping it up are five players in the right wing corner in the Saugus end. Puck squirts loose. Edson can't come up with it. Where is it? It is offside. 20.3 left to go in the game. 4-4 is the score. Twenty seconds left. Puck is just outside. The faceoff is just outside the Saugus end. Won by the Panthers. They have to retreat to their own line. Beverly, one last rush. Munzing can't get through a crowd. Drops it back to Hanlon. 7 seconds left to go. He falls down. 5 seconds left. Nobody controlling. It's behind the Saugus cage. And it's a centering pass. Goes harmlessly into the left wing corner. We end in a tie. So there you go. After all that work, it ends up a 4-4 game, Beverly and Saugus. And we will wrap it up right here and right now. For the Beverly Panthers, they opened it up with three goals, scoring the first three. It was Munzing scoring at the 35-second mark. He got assists from Hanlon. That was a backhanded shot. 35 seconds in, Beverly led 1-0. At 11:02 of the first, it was a slap shot from the right point by Braden Clark, increasing the lead to 2-0 at 11:02. Hanlon and Hallinan the assist, 2-0 Beverly after one. Munzing came back and scored his second of the night, assist to Edson and Hanlon, 23 seconds into the second period. And that was a power play goal that increased the lead to 3-0 for Beverly. But then Saugus came roaring back. First, Nick Moore at 4:26, McGrain and Rodriguez the assists. That made it 3-1. Then at 11:58 on the power play, major penalty to Beverly, it was Ryan Granara, power play effort, and picked up an assist from Ronnie Paolo. That was 11:58, cutting the score to 3-2. Then McGrain, an unassisted effort for Saugus, on the power play, same power play at 14:30, game was tied at 3. We go to the third, and it was Torres who gave the Sachems a 4-3 lead, scoring at 3:23 of the third, as John Torres deflected a shot by C.J. Graffio from the point, and Saugus was on top 4-3, but it was Edson who came back at 8:44 to deflected a shot by Hallinan, and Hanlon, I believe, I can't read my own writing, at 8:44, that was a power play, and that tied the game at 4. So that's where we stand. So this game finishes up at 4-all. So Saugus now moves to 4 wins, 5 losses, and 3 ties, and they now have scored 29 goals and allowed 44. And meanwhile, the Beverly Panthers will have 7 wins, 4 losses, and 2 ties. They now have scored 51 goals and allowed 40. Next game for each of these schools, Beverly will be visiting Peabody on Friday. That's a Friday game starting at 5:15. And for the Saugus Sachems, they will be traveling back to the Casabooski home game against North Reading on Monday, January 22. So I'm guessing that they probably have exams this week. So that Monday game will be at 6 p.m. That's it. So for Bill Newell and for our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore, reminding you of the final score here at the Bork Arena at Endicott College in Beverly. It is Saugus 4 and Beverly 4. This is MSONewsports.com.